listen to the first team, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first team.
So the show marches on. Hi, I'm Bob Bupka, here with Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, Jay, it's trying hard to be springtime in Austin, site of this week's Dell Technologies match play. Temperature down in the 40s last night, but I think it's important that we kick off this show, the story that's been gripping the nation, the packages that were exploding all over Austin, Texas. It just wasn't a pretty sight, but we have good news to report. That situation has been handled, and everybody in Austin taking a great big sigh of relief when getting ready for some exciting match play to begin later on today.
No doubt. Austin's been kind of on lockdown for a couple of days. The PGA Tour's there. Everything all right for the first day of match play, getting that thing going. So that's good to hear. And it's an exciting time in the game of golf.
You talk about exciting. How about last night, unbeknownst to me, and we're the guest of a lifelong friend by the name of Sonny Rhodes, a longtime member of Austin Country Club. We go out to dinner with him last night, and then all of a sudden we get introduced to a lady, and she's the mother of Nick Foles, the winning quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, and all we did was talk football for about a half hour. But boy, you know, when you think of that Super Bowl game, it probably is going to go down as one of the greatest in history.
Absolutely. The Philadelphia Eagles getting it done, and a heck of a win. I'm sure she was very excited. Does she live down in Austin?
Yes, she does. And Nick owns not just that restaurant, several others. So he's doing pretty well. And I think we better get to some golf. Our listeners get upset here, of course, you know, after a great week of rest that we had being on a little vacation. Now it's our time to get into the run-up to Augusta. Of course, Rory McIlroy back in the winner's circle. We know what Tiger did last week. One shot out of the lead just with three holes to go. Phil Mickelson winning a few weeks ago, Jay. I mean, it's like a script is being written in Hollywood leading up to this Masters.
No, it's incredible, Bob. When you look at the players that are playing well, the guy that's the favorite, the defending champion at the match play, Dustin Johnson, four wins in his last 20 starts. You look at Rory. You look at Phil getting back into the winner's circle. You know what Spieth's got. Justin Thomas. Jason Day is one. We haven't talked about Justin Rose. We haven't talked about Paul Casey. I mean, there's another 5-10 names I could mention. I've never seen anything like this in the game of golf. During my lifetime, you had the tail end of Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson's great play, and Greg Norman and Nick Faldo and the European invasion. And then we had a dominant player in Tiger Woods. But right now what we got going on is the most fascinating thing. It's almost like every Sunday I'm more excited than I was the week before. And with what you had going on at Arnold's Playground, with Tiger in the mix, with Rory, with Rose, with some stellar players. It was fantastic. And Rory with a signature victory just a couple of weeks away from Augusta.
And, you know, the real amazing thing, a group of us were talking yesterday, and the name Ricky Fowler came up, and it was almost like a footnote. I mean, it wasn't long ago that we were thinking that maybe Ricky Fowler could win all four majors in one year. That year that he finished in the top five in all four just a couple of years ago. And now his name barely gets mentioned.
Well, and I know he had to pull out of this week's match play, but Ricky still is a guy not to lose sight of. I mean, that's the thing. We've got so many different guys at this moment playing stellar golf. Henrik Stenson, who was on the lead going into the final round. Young Bryson DeChambeau. You know, guys like Patrick Cantlay. We haven't even talked about the young English guys, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Matthew Fitzpatrick. I mean, this is wild. And, I Ricky could very well win the Masters. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that's so hard to tell. But you and Janice are going to have one heck of a week in Augusta coming up in 2 weeks.
I'm looking forward to it. And, of course, let's hear, though, right now, how Rory reacted to his win down at the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
I mean, I played a perfect round of golf. I give myself birdie chances on basically every hole. Just executed shots the way I wanted to when I needed to. I 64 in those conditions out there with it being firm and fast, to get into the winner's circle again, it feels really good. So, really proud of myself, how I've hung in there over the past sort of year with injuries and, taking a little bit of time off at the end of last year to sort of get myself right coming into this year. And, all that hard work has finally paid off. I kept telling everyone, even when I was missing cuts and finishing 60th, it wasn't that far away. So just a couple little tweaks here and there. And it's nice to be in this position again.
You know, Jay, many can make the argument right now when Rory McIlroy is firing on all cylinders, he has the most talent to play this game of anybody playing it at the moment.
Well, there's no question about it. And, he's had a lot go on the last year. So, I mean, he got married. That's a big thing in anybody's life. He does all the travel. He travels worldwide. He's just 28 years old. He's two-time Vardon Trophy winner. And he could be 2 weeks away from a Grand Slam. He's as good as there is out there. Now, if everybody is playing their best, if everybody's their best, who's the best right now? I still say it's Dustin Johnson. But that's a tough question. It's a very tough question.
Yeah, I'm sure our listeners would have trouble coming up with an answer. My personal pick, if everybody's playing their absolute best, I tend to go with Rory McIlroy. But, hey, certainly Dustin Johnson is in that mix. Somebody else.
Hey, Bob, Rory took that tournament and just grasped it. I mean, you had some sticks there. You had Stenson. You had Rose, you had young DeChambeau, and Rory said, you know what, boys, I'm going out, I'm shooting eight down, and I'm going to hoist the Arnold Palmer Invitational Trophy, and that's what he did.
Yeah, 64 under those conditions was incredible, but we'd be remiss. Our buddy, he certainly is coming back in fine style. Tiger Woods, three holes to go, one shot out of the lead. I couldn't believe what I was watching. It just didn't seem real. And here's what Tiger had to say after he finished.
If I can play with no pain and I can feel like I can make golf swings, I'll figure it out. And I'm starting to piece it together tournament by tournament, and each term has gotten a little bit crisper and a little bit better.
Sounds a lot like a little bit of a threat there by Tiger. When he says he can figure it out, anybody that doubts that doesn't know Tiger Woods.
Well, and the number one thing, and he said it right off the bat, we can talk all about whatever you want with Tiger, but if he's not healthy, it doesn't matter, and he's healthy. And that's why he believes he can figure it out. And damn it, he's already figured it out. I'm so tired of the people saying that I'm tired of seeing Tiger Woods. We had a guy walking into the pro shop on Saturday. He said, aren't you getting tired of Tiger Woods? I said, no, he's the most exciting player I've ever saw. In fact, up against March Madness, okay? The biggest sporting event in the month of March, the Arnold Palmer Invitational final round beat three of the four majors final round last year. So just shut up about Tiger Woods. There's the proof. Go back to your hole. I don't want to hear you anymore. Tiger Woods' presence at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, coupled with Rory, Henrik Stenson, and some of those players there, was a higher rated final round than three of the four majors last year.
One of my main jobs on this show is to get Jay Randolph to tell us how he really feels. It seems like maybe I'm doing my job pretty good. Anyway, you mentioned the name Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, you know what I was thinking? He plays the game completely different than anybody else. His game's all about precision, exactly hitting golf balls, exact yardages. And boy, when you look at a potential winning formula for playing Augusta National, where, you know, it doesn't matter if you hit the green. You got to hit the green in the right spot. That scientific approach, hey, I would not be shocked if he prevails. I mean, he did win the United States Amateur. He did win the NCAA. I mean, he has pedigree, and he's rounding into form. Bryson may be a good outside shot.
Bob, they broke down one of his tee shots and showed his setup at address from behind. And I don't exactly know how he hits the golf ball, but what he does is he does it the same way over and over. We've talked about the same length of shaft in his irons, from the four iron to the wedge. He's a unique guy. He uses a variation of a book called The Golf Machine that he's kind of massaged himself. It was a book that Mike Holder, the coach at Oklahoma State back in the day, used to preach at guys like Bob Tway and Willie Wood. This is a unique guy. And I think he draws a lot of confidence from the fact that he does it a little different. Now, as he said over the weekend, he doesn't like being known as the guy that's against the grain. He feels like that was more of him a couple of years ago. He's gotten some time out here. But clearly, Bob, he's got a passion, and he's got that precision game that you talked about that is so technical and scientific. I don't understand it, but it works for Bryson.
Yeah, it certainly does. And you mentioned his name earlier. Matter of fact, you mentioned a couple of guys, but Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, the list of potential winners as we prepare in just 2 weeks to head down Magnolia Lane is simply incredible.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2. Tune in. Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, to play the Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. Now it's time to go to our Vertical Groove Hotline with Alex Maselli, and the topic, or controversy this week, always controversy when you bring in Alex, is how valuable an agent can be to a top player. Here's Bob with Alex.
Time now to catch up with the founder and publisher of Morning Read, Alex Maselli, a name certainly familiar on the Grill Room. Alex, coming your way courtesy of Vertical Groove Golf, the new easier way to hit your driver and three wood straighter and longer. Alex, just off the press, big shakeup on the business side of golf. Jordan Spieth, his manager, breaking up with the management company, going out on their own. Your take.
Wow. No idea. You know, I wonder if that has anything to do with why his play has been so spotty this year. I mean, when we started the year, Jordan Spieth was the favorite going into the Masters. Now he's like 20-1, believe it or not, to win the Masters, with many different players ahead of him, including Tiger Woods, at least in Vegas's odds. So I wonder, sometimes, you know, it's very hard, Bob, as you know, to know what's going on with a player outside the ropes and how that affects him inside the ropes, because they're not telling us. It's not like you could walk up to a guy and say, hey, are you getting divorced or not? Or, hey, did a good friend of yours pass away? Or, hey, have you got money problems? I mean, that's not a conversation we're going to have, you know, just out of the blue. So we never know what's going on outside the ropes. So I find that quite interesting.
Wouldn't this be along the lines of, you know, Tiger Woods when he started, and, you know, Mark Steinberg branching out on his own? I think Jay Danzy is probably trying to follow a path that's already been taken.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I had a conversation with Graham McDowell just the other day, because Graham is on his own as well currently. And he for 15 years, he had three different agents. One for 5 years, another one for 5 years, and another one for 5 years. And when he got to the when he got to that point, he said, "Look, I know I got my own Rolodex now. When I started, I didn't have my own Rolodex. I couldn't call these people. I couldn't get in tournaments. I couldn't get deals. Now I can call whoever I need to. I get it taken care of myself. Why am I going to give away, you know, basically 20% to an agent who's in Jordan? Let's take Jordan Spieth's case. He's got AT&T. He's got Superstroke. He's got Titleist. And he's got Under Armour. Do we really think that Jordan Spieth couldn't do those deals himself? And if he can, why would he be giving 20% away to anybody else? And I think you're starting to see players understand that better than they have in any other time in their careers, especially when the money for those players that are maybe below 30 in the world is not as plentiful out there as it had been in the past.
So we could see the demise of managers for golf professionals in the future?
I don't know about demise. I think if you're a starting or a new player, I think you need that assistance. You need that help. But I think as you go along, I'll give you a perfect example. If you were a player that consistently played at Pebble Beach every year, over a five-year period, you would meet five different CEOs or people in business, most likely. Every one of those guys or women are you're going to have a relationship with. Those are the people you're going to cut deals with. You could go walk down the range today in Austin and ask every one of those guys if they have relationships with people that they met at Pebble Beach during the AT&T National Pro-Am, and in fact, they've done business with them. And I would say you have over 50% of those guys will tell you yes.
All right, another thing, real quick, like running out of time, you're pretty strong on the fact that Tiger's not going to win and certainly not going to win a major. He's one shot at the lead last weekend, three holes to go. Was Alex Miceli nervous?
Tiger does not have that gear to close yet. You saw it at Valspar. You saw it at Bay Hill. And in most cases, it was requirements of hitting the driver. He could have hit something other than what he hit iron at the 18th hole at Valspar, decided not to. Put him in a bad situation, a very difficult way to make a birdie. And then at Bay Hill, he's sitting on the 16th tee, certainly with momentum, Bob, but couldn't decide between a driver and a three wood. Indecision, as you know, on this tour kills you. That's what it did to Tiger. It killed him. Bogey, bogey, lost by eight. You know, that's the thing you got to remember. At the end of the day, he lost by eight.
Well, Bob, you and Alex have been following the game for a long time, have known a lot of different agents and a lot of agent-player relationships. I think a lot of times it depends on the player. As we talk about with caddies, there's some guys that, you know, demand a lot from their agent. And, well, you know, a lot of times their agent is out on tour with them on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. But there are other guys that... you know, just send me a text, let me know what my schedule is, this and that. And it's the same way with the caddy. Some guys are really reliant on their caddies, and other guys maybe not so much. Like a guy, our friend Mark Carnevale, the 92 rookie of the year, anybody could have caddied for him.
No, you're right about that. And it was kind of funny. I had opportunity to sit down with Bud Martin, his yep. number one player is Jason Day. And he's taken on other players. He actually has a real star in the making as far as I'm concerned. A young Australian by the name of Cameron Smith, who people should keep their eye on. But I said to Bud, how do you go about selecting what players that you want to manage? He says, well, it's simple for me. I just tell any prospective players, if you can act and be just like Jason Day, then I want to manage you. I'll make you a lot of money and we'll have a great relationship. If you don't think you want to conduct yourself in the fashion that Jason Day does, then, you know, you better get another manager. So pretty easy rule for Bud Martin.
You know, these kids get out of college and they haven't had anybody really necessarily managing their affairs. And now they're starting to get a buffer like $10 million like Justin Thomas, and they need some advice. And one of the key things is having a good agent. As you know, Bob, we've both known guys that have picked the wrong guy and wondered what happened to their money.
I wonder about that, about myself on a daily basis.
And you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, and we're thankful you are. It's the new face of golf, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. We got to take a short break, but when we return, we'll take a look at the strong field assembled down in Austin Country Club where Bob and Janice are. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, Jay Randolph Jr. You can find me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. Bob Bupka is also on there, known as the VOG, the voice of golf. He's been I don't even know how many majors, over 100 major championships. He'll be going to one in a couple of weeks at Augusta, but right now he's kind of in a quasi-major, if you will. He's down in Austin, Texas. Bob, it's the WGC Dell Match Play, the top 64 players available from the official world rankings. Of course, you got some guys that aren't playing. Five eligible guys aren't playing. I mentioned Ricky Fowler not playing this week. Justin Rose taking a week off. Brooks Koepka, I guess, got a little injury. Stenson and Adam Scott both taking the week off as they get ready for Augusta. This is a fun event. Bob, I like this new format where they put them in pods where you've got guys ranked 1 through 16, guys 17 through 32, 33 through 48, 49 through 64. So you get one player out of each of those four areas that go into the 16 pods that they've got, 16 four-player groups, and you got 3 days of 18 hole matches that will result in a winner moving on to the final 16. I like that change.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you, Jay, because I loved it the old way, and I'll tell you why. Because there were 64 players. They had 32 matches on Wednesday, okay? Yeah. I referred to it quite often as the single most exciting day in golf. It wasn't the biggest event in golf. It wasn't the most exciting week in golf. But that day when 32 players were going to go home after losing their match was the single most exciting day in all of golf. A lot of people, including the powers to be, obviously at the PGA Tour, they feel this is better. The one aspect that I will agree with you that is better, it's better for the fans because the fans, yep. If they come out, they have more than one opportunity to see their favorite player. If they have a favorite player and he loses on Wednesday, that's it. This way they get to see their favorite player for three matches. But as far as pure excitement, boy, did I love that day. And players knew that, man, if I lose today, I'm going home. And actually, it started to get to the point where players were saying, I'm not going to go to match play because I don't want to just play 18 holes or less and then be dispatched. So, it has its pros and cons. But this is the format now, and we're going to get ready to enjoy it. Like you said, they'll play three matches, and then we go into the sudden death portion come the weekend. When we take a look at some of the players it is pretty exciting. You mentioned earlier Dustin Johnson defending, but the funny player I think that's here, and I spent some time with Jimmy Johnson on the range yesterday, Jay, and I said, everybody's talking about Mickelson and Woods and Rory McIlroy. I said, nobody's talking about Justin Thomas, who's probably the most dominant player in the game at the moment. And Jimmy said to me, hey, Bob, We like it that way. We want to be under the radar. So every player, has their own way of viewing a situation. But certainly Justin Thomas not getting the credit that he really deserves coming into this match play.
Well, and I'm looking at Justin's bracket, or if you will, his pod. And, I think his is one of the tougher ones. He's got Francesco Molinari, Patton Kizzery, and is it Kizzery or Kizire? I screw it up every time.
Kizire will work. It'll be my desire for you to say Kizire.
There you go. Patton Kizzery, and Luke List, who's been playing really good golf. So I think that's one of the interesting groupings. Dustin Johnson, defending champion. John Rahm, who got to the finals last year. I think Rahm's got a fairly easy draw. I was talking with I was talking on Twitter with our friend over the pond who listens to the Grill Room Golf Show, and he likes Rahm as well. Watch out for Cabrera Bello. I think that Rafael Cabrera Bello advances and Rahm advances, they play each other in the first round. And I have a feeling the winner will come from there. Another tough group, I think, is Tommy Fleetwood has got Daniel Berger, Kevin Chappell, who's been playing really good golf, and the X Factor in Ian Poulter. You never know if he's going to be hot or cold. The other one that people are talking about is this group four, because Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed are going to go up against each other. You've got the new kid, Lee, from the Far East, and Charles Schwartzel, who's another guy you kind of never know about. A lot of people think Rory's got an easy draw with Brian Harman, Johnny Vegas, and Peter Uihlein. But, it's match play, Bob. And if you have a couple of bad holes, that thing can turn on you at any moment.
Let's go back to that second round match of Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed. A lot of spice has been added to that match because last Sunday, down at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, it was Patrick Reed requesting a rules official because he thought he was entitled to relief. Rules official declined to give Patrick the relief, so he asked for a second opinion. The second opinion arrived on the scene, and the same verdict was handed down. No, Patrick, you're not entitled to relief. When Patrick said, quote, unquote, "Well, I guess if my name was Jordan Spieth, I probably would get relief." And that added to a lot of controversy. And then, of course, they were teammates on the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup. And tomorrow, the temperature this morning was 47 degrees when we woke up here in Austin. Tomorrow, when they get to the first tee, I bet the temperature is going to feel about 32 degrees between those two guys, and that should be really interesting.
Yeah, I was a little taken aback at Reed, saying another player's name. If you want to be upset about not getting the call you wanted or getting a drop, fine. But, if you're referencing Jordan, especially if it's the British Open situation, you're talking about a whole different organization of rules officials making the decision. So I thought it was a little weak for Patrick Reed to toss out Jordan Spieth. Let me tell you something. There's a chance that this Haitong Li wins the bracket the way he's been playing. That's the thing. I mean, match play, you can look at it. You can say, well, you've got Phil Mickelson, Rafael Cabrera Bello, some guy named Satoshi Kodera, and Charles Howe III, who has trouble beating you sometimes these days, that you think Mickelson just rolls through. But I don't know that Phil's going to be able to do it, even though Phil played well last year at Austin. And, Bob, this is an old-school golf course, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and it's ideal for match play. There are a lot of holes. I mean, the very first hole with a good drive You can drive the green. So, but you know, you have the option of trying to drive the green, not trying to drive the green. A lot of options here. Dale Morgan, outstanding head professional here at the Austin Country Club. You know, this is where the legendary Harvey Penick was the professional for all professionals. And, you know, there's so much of Harvey that still exists at Austin Country Club. I had time yesterday to spend with Ben Crenshaw and Jay. You know as well as I do that, you know, they're not any nicer guys in the world of golf than Ben Crenshaw. And we actually sat down and did a special piece that we're going to use in our Masters preview. But Ben, Tom Kite was on the range. You know, Tom and Ben were both students of Harvey Penick. You know, so there's more to Austin Country Club than just 18 holes of golf. There's history, there's atmosphere, there's personalities, and getting back to your question, it really is an old-time golf course that suits match play right to a tee.
Who's your pick? Have you filled out a bracket? Who's your pick? I picked my team for DraftKings, and I'm big on Rahm.
Well, John Rahm is going to be awfully tough to beat. I mean, he hits it a country mile, and he possesses something that I think is imperative to play well in match play. He's not going to play it safe. He's going to put it on the line, and he can hit a driver into the narrowest of fairways. So, you know, I think you got a good pick there. I think probably Dustin Johnson is getting a little tired of everybody else getting so much publicity. He is the world's number one player. I think he's probably going to prevail as defending champion. You know, another guy that you have to take a serious look at with his victory recently, Gary Woodland. He hits it a country mile. I mean, you know, in all honesty to our fans, you probably could take a dart and throw it up against the wall, and wherever the dart lands, you could say, hey, this guy has a great chance of winning this event. You know, Jason Day, he won it 2 years ago. He last year, he had problems with his mom, needing some, you know, medical attention. He withdrew from the event. He's back. He's playing well. Recent winner out at San Diego. So, you know, there's so many guys. As you alluded to, Jay, at the top of the show, it's such an exciting time for golf right now because there isn't one guy, two guys, three guys. There's 12, 15, 20 guys that are really playing well. And you can make a great argument for any one of those 20 to win this event. And more importantly, you can make an argument for any one of those 20 that they can win in 2 weeks at Magnolia Lane.
You know, even when, you know, you had, you know, there was a time maybe you had four or five guys that were playing world-class golf. I mean, you know, now you've got, like you said, Bob, 20 guys easily. And those are just 20 guys that we are saying are playing world-class golf. There's 100 guys that, you know, almost just about everybody now that enters a regular PGA Tour event can win it. And that just wasn't the case 25 years ago, I'm telling you. And Bob will tell you. So it's a fascinating time. And we got more kids coming. And we got the older guys like Phil and Tiger not giving up. So I think it's going to be just I mean, it's 2 weeks away, basically, but I'm ready now.
You know, one question that a lot of people are going to want answered is how is Peter Uihlein going to stand up against Rory McIlroy? That is the first match. One question that doesn't have to be answered is, what kind of golf ball is Peter Uihlein going to play? Well, I guarantee you it's going to be Titleist, because his dad, Wally Uhrlein, was headed tideless for the longest time. And I give Peter a lot of credit. I mean, he's worked hard on his game. You know, when you have a dad that's as prominent in the sport of golf as Wally Uhlein was, it wasn't easy for Peter to come through the ranks. But boy, he's every year he gets a little bit better. He went the European Tour route. And he's a guy that at the end of this week, we could be saying, hey, Peter Uhlein, maybe he's got a chance to win the Masters.
Yeah, I mean, it's like every couple of weeks, here comes a new guy added into the mix with these talented young players, with these guys that are getting to 34 and 35 years of age, hitting their prime. And then we talked about some of the older guys that are still playing well. What a glorious game it is. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, say, hey, play the Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. We need to take a short break, but don't go anywhere, because when we return, we're going to groove up with Vertical Groove Golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. He's Jay Randolph Jr. I'm Bob Bupkin. We're proud to be talking golf as we get closer and closer to the first major of the year. Well, you know, we've been talking about the Vertical Groove driver and now the Vertical Groove 3-wood. I know it's still cold up in the Northeast, but golf weather, believe me, is just around the corner. Time now to get your golf gear organized. Why not just start the season out with a plan that will make you hit it longer and hit more fairways. And that's exactly what the Vertical Grooves help you do. Last year, Rocco Mediate put the Vertical Groove driver into play. We asked him why. Here's his answer.
It's better. Vertical Groove is way better than what I had before. Tested it in December. You know, when you go test a driver, you're like, it's not going to work, but I'll try it. And I hit the first ball, and I went, maybe I'll try some more. And I just kept going, and it's better. Faster, a little longer, straighter. I can still curve it. Just feels good. One of those dream tests I had. You don't get them very often.
Bob, after putting the Vertical Groove driver into play, he ended up ranked as close to first as you can get without being first in accuracy. And that's the dual factor about Vertical Groove and the Vertical Groove driver. I noticed it last year when I made the switch. I talked about my ball flight being a little lower. I think that's partly because of the grooves and because of that traditional style head, not one of these jumbo heads that looks like an airplane. And the combination of less spin gives you more accuracy. So this is a driver that not only you'll hit it further, you'll hit it straighter. And the proof is that there are guys out on the Champions Tour, Bob, as you know, playing this driver and not getting paid to do it.
Yeah, when you can win the Senior Open like Kenny Perry did last year using a Vertical Groove driver, that's all you need to know. Next week, we're going to announce our Masters contest, which will allow you to win a Vertical Groove driver and a Vertical Groove 3-wood. We're going to have two separate winners, one for the driver, one for the 3-wood. To get more information on how you can improve your golf game, simply go to vertgolf.com. That's vertgolf.com.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.